The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hour number two. Astros lost their third straight game last night to the Pittsburgh Pirates. They have lost six of their last nine, and they are no longer in first place in the American League West. They're a game back of Seattle, who beat Boston last night. So now, with the same record as the Pittsburgh Pirates, they look to avoid a sweep later on at Minute Maid Park. Framber Valdez looking to build off of an awesome start on Friday where he had 10 strikeouts against something named Jake Woodford. He has a 10.8 ERA. If the Astros offense doesn't wake up against him, I will be annoyed. On last night's game, Joe, we saw something that at the very least featured a little bit of something that we get a kick out of after the fact. The Astros had three errors. This was the worst of those errors, but listen till the end. You'll get a little joy in your life.
Season scheduled. You mentioned you're going up to Canton. Well, we may not get a chance to talk about it if Hunter Brown makes this play. Kind of stumbles.
Oh.
And he throws it past John Singleton. They need to hustle to get this ball back in. Trying to score all the way from first. No throw. And now the throw goes to third, and it's late. And the Pirates take a 2-0 lead on a ball that's thrown down the right field line.
Man, you guys are true professionals to catch all that. That fast is amazing.
Disturbing trend. Houston Texans owner Cal McNair seems cooler than Astros owner Jim Crane.
By a large margin?
I don't know if I'll go large.
I mean, the backwards hat.
But he did have a...
He throws up the H.
He throws up the H. That's true. He grills for the people. I don't think Jim Crane's ever seen a grill. He wore his hat backwards, as Joe said. A billionaire wearing a backwards cap. Colin Cowherd probably had an aneurysm right now. Probably had an aneurysm. I'd have to have Danny Parkin sub for him again.
I wonder what he would say about an owner in a backwards hat.
Yeah, because it's a billionaire. It's like the most successful person possible.
Because he just dumps on Baker Mayfield or any quarterback that wears a backwards hat. But like, what do you say about a billionaire? Now, he'd probably say he's a Nepo baby.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
that he inherited it?
That's the move.
Lucky with, Sperm Club?
Yeah, with Colin Cowherd. Because mm-hmm. it's not like he was a self-made billionaire.
So Cal McNair is cooler than Jim Crane. I don't think we can argue this right now. If someone wants to, good luck.
I don't think Jim Crane, as an Astros owner, was ever like cool, though.
Well, he used to pitch. He was a good pitcher
for
D3 school.
But as like, he was cool in college. I'm saying like as the owner of the Astros, he never like was like, I'm one of you. He's always been, hey, I write the checks. I run this team.
Cal's public perception has gone from oaf letting Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby do whatever they want to coolest dude in town who's married to a pistol of a wife who's a strong, powerful woman and the reason that the Houston Texans are on the right track, and Hannah McNair.
I do think that just helps him so much. there's just something about...
No other owner in town has a wife like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
More cool points.
I'm not saying Cal isn't cool. I'm saying that Jim Crane, I don't think he's ever, like, worried himself with, like, well, do the fans think I'm cool? Like, that's just not something he's ever done.
He just he throws up the rings, and he should. Like, that helps. But I'm just saying, you know, with the moves that have been made, and it seems like he's a little meddlesome these days. Maybe not this year, but these days.
Just the PR arrow down on Crane. PR arrow up, way up. Like three arrows up for Cal.
I'm still surprised how MIA Jim Crane has been this season. It's like even when things got really good. And they got back into first place, and they chased down the Mariners, and they were 10 games back to having the division lead. Still haven't heard from Jim Crane. I'm surprised by that.
There's a piece of audio from Dana Brown that we'll play in a moment that I think also seems to indicate that Jim Crane is taking, at least from a public relations perspective, he's trying to make it seem like he's taking more of a backseat. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I wanted to ask this question to everybody out there, 713-780-3776, on Twitch at ESPN975, on YouTube as well. What are the most disturbing recent trends for the Houston Astros? Jim Crane being less cool than Cal McNair. It is a tad disturbing, but from a serious perspective, what's most? I'm going to start, Joe. I think that the recent performances by Ronel Blanco, where he has come back to earth, it shouldn't be surprising, but it is a little disturbing. And Hunter Brown having a couple of rough goes of late. Like last night, he busted his ass to get just through 5 2/3. And it wasn't all his fault. He had some bad luck along the way defensively. The Astros didn't really have his back. But those two, I feel, are trending in the wrong direction. And that is disturbing for a pitching staff that is without Justin Verlander for now, and without Luis Garcia for now, and without Lance McCullers for the foreseeable future. It's just Framber Valdez, really, that you look at and you trust what he's got behind him, all the pelts on the wall.
I would say I'm not concerned at all about Hunter Brown personally, because the stuff is still pretty nasty last night. Ronald Blanco is the one that is definitely at the top of my list. I'm with you. He just looks kind of tired, and I'm not sure if that how that gets fixed. Even if you go to a 6-man rotation, which so right now you're still in a 5-man, you're hoping, you know, JV gets back here soon. It sounds like him and Luis Garcia will go on rehab assignments in the near future. And if they do that, you can move to a 6-man rotation and you can take Arrigetti out of the rotation. And those are all positive things. I just don't know if that helps Blanco being tired and trying to accomplish something that he's just never done in terms of innings pitch. So he's at the top of my list.
Okay.
Like, of biggest concerns.
Interesting. How about the slumping hitters? You've mentioned Dubon, Jeremy Pena of late, for his last whatever. Chaz McCormick continues to play, though he did have two hits last night. If there's one of those three, who's at the top?
Probably Dubon.
Yeah, you were big on Dubon earlier in the show. I feel like you gotta keep hitting that hammer.
Yeah, because Pena, it feels like he fixed his problems and he's just slumping, whereas Dubon has been more exposed at this point in the season. And hopefully, like, you know, you hope Justin Verlander and Luis Garcia will come back. You hope Kyle Tucker will come back and will solve some of these problems. But Dubon is just, to me, it's very clear he's better in limited doses. So I would put Dubon at the top of that. I probably would include Jake Meyers. I was just not
so
impressed with what he's been doing lately.
And yeah.
We were kind of all in on him collectively.
I had my doubts, but I liked how he was playing. Look, everyone in baseball is capable of putting together a good month or two, expecting that to be the norm going forward when the track record that we have with Jake Meyers, it is a bit naive. Like, there's a certain moment in time where you got to look at what he's been and assume that water is going to find its level eventually. The bad way, too. You know, not just the good way.
Yeah, because now the positive with that is where you would maybe Chaz McCormick will, as Jake falls, you know, Chaz will eventually rise and be a competent hitter again at the plate. That would be huge for the Astros, honestly, if that could happen this season.
Meyers' average this month is 174.
That's not good.
Mm-hmm. His OPS is
very, very bad.
560, and he has played in the majority of games for the Astros this month.
honestly, that's like, you know, even John Singleton's hitting 220 over the course of the past month. Even Mauricio Dubon, you take a look at his numbers. Even Dubon, well, actually, Dubon's the one who's worse. He's 160 with a 432 OPS. I was assuming he could maybe be a little above.
It can't be that bad.
Jeez, so both Dubon and Myers, my God.
Yeah.
These are just complete albatrosses.
Yeah.
They're dragging you to the bottom.
They're giving you nothing. I mean, right now. And Chaz McCormick right now.
Maybe if you had Joey Lopez. Oh, wait. Yeah, he's gone now.
He's Chaz is 5-for-14 in his last five games that he's played in. So hopefully there's a sign of life with him, because you might really need it for this season to go the way you really, really want it to go.
He is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Where do the Astros fail at the trade deadline? And do you believe that Dana Brown is actually in control of the Astros right now? To piggyback off of something Joe said a moment ago, stick around. It's Gallant and George.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
We took a hit yesterday, but we felt like, you know, the hit was needed to get what we needed in the starting rotation. So, and we felt like it was a fair deal, according to the market. But, you know, ultimately, you know, our needs weren't as great today, so we didn't have to give up as much. So, but we felt like what we did was acquire another reliever, which is big. And we felt like, you know, we gave up a player, but it wasn't like one of our top prospects.
As Dana Brown talking about what the Houston Astros did at the trade deadline, they got Yusei Kikuchi, they gave up Jake Bloss, Joey Loperfido, and Will Wagner, a minor leaguer, to get him. And then they traded yesterday for Caleb Ferguson, who is a left-handed reliever with the New York Yankees with a ERA north of 5 this year. They gave up a bullpen arm in the minors named Kelly Austin and $750,000 in international bonus money. So the trade deadline is done. Joe, a question for you. Was this deadline a failure? And on top of that, like, what were the many failures of this deadline?
I'm going to say yes, it was a failure, because I hate the idea that the two players that they acquired have to be fixed, because they're broken in some way, shape, or form. If it was only one of them, I guess I would just feel different. But the fact that you've got Spada and Dana Brown both talking about how they're confident that they can fix what's wrong, like, in theory, you're buying low. Well, they bought low on Ferguson. They didn't buy low on Kikuchi. They bought high on him, and like, in terms of the prospects they gave up, and they have to fix the problems with him. So that to me is one of my biggest issues, that both those guys are struggling, and I just don't really see how they solve your problems.
Is it possible that in the same way that Hunter Brown starts throwing a different pitch, or in the same way that Ronald Blanco just came into the year as a guy who barely made the major league roster and throws a no-hitter in his first start, is it possible that they find those fixes really quickly? I'm coming more and more around to it by the day. An optimist inside of me is looking at what the Astros have done in the past. I do think that there's a degree there's a huge degree of difference between where they were then back in the day with Jeff Luhnow and some of the people that were a part of this front office and this organization, and where they're at now. You know, things have clearly changed. But is it possible? I think it is possible. It's just going to have to be really quickly that they make it happen. And I do think that with Kikuchi, there's a language barrier that's going to be difficult. And on top of that, I think with a guy who's got a 5 ERA as a reliever, okay, he's a lefty, cool, but what's going on there? You know, the Yankees couldn't figure it out. I mean, the Yankees seem to be, they're not the best organization in baseball by any means, but
you would think that they've had the resources to potentially see what's wrong with him too.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at just some of the raw numbers of things that have happened in the past, like Justin Verlander was brought up earlier on the text line. He had a near 4 ERA in Detroit in 2017 before he got traded. He had a 1.06 ERA when he became a Houston Astro the rest of the year in the regular season. And obviously, he was good in the playoffs again that year. Gerrit Cole, similarly, he wasn't having his best year when they acquired him or the year before. Like, Greinke is similar, I believe. So the Astros do have this track record where they've brought in guys at the deadline and they have fixed them. Rafael Montero, you know, obviously he didn't pitch that first year he was here, but he was pretty good the next year. Now it's reverted backwards, but they've shown they can do this. Brent Schaum, though, was here for all of those guys just named, and he's not here now. So that's why I can't have the ultimate faith that they're going to be able to quickly identify these problems. Because maybe I would feel better, Paul, if it was Hunter Brown doing all these interviews and when Todd Callis and Jeff Blum and everyone's talking about what fixed Hunter Brown and they would mention the pitching coaches, but they don't. They mentioned Alex Bregman and Justin Verlander that they fixed Hunter Brown. It just doesn't give me confidence that your players are fixing your problem, not your coaches. So I can't be sold that they're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, and they're going to have to do it quickly. That's something to throw on top of all of this. So,
do you consider it a failure?
I don't know what they could have done realistically with the assets they have. If we're looking at it from what they wanted to do, they clearly wanted Yusei Kikuchi, and they got him. And it seemed like they were in on Kikuchi for a week. If that was their number one target, and the person that they felt they could get, well, they got him. And did they give up anybody that is going to hurt them forever in doing so? You can't say that about Jake Bloss yet. You can't say that about Joey Loperfido yet. And you can't say that about Will Wagner. And it's trending towards no with Will Wagner. You know, we're both on the same page here. The prospects that they gave up, we're less upset about it as the day goes on. It's more like, we love Loperfido. J-Lope. Emphasize the P as Jeff Blum did. Pop that P. But I'm not going to call it a failure. I feel like they had their hands behind their back a little bit in terms of what they actually could do. I would have liked another first baseman. So from that perspective, did they address the lineup? No. Does that make it a failure? I feel like if I'm grading it, I'm going to give it a D. Ds get degrees. They did get an innings eater to start, and they got a bullpen arm.
Ds get degrees, but you can't play sports if you get them.
Is that true?
That's where when I went to school, it was.
Oh, yeah, you're going to a good, you know, this
it
is,
was, if you
we're not talking Ohio State here.
Yeah, if you had two Ds, you weren't allowed to play.
Or Florida State.
Yeah, if you had two Ds, you weren't allowed to play. If you had an F, you weren't allowed to play. Those were my rules in high school. And you know what, Paul? Does it really matter if they go to the ALCS? Like, I saw people were saying, oh, if they win the World Series, it doesn't matter. I don't think you have to win the World Series for it to say this trade's a win. You know, Dana Brown today on the flagship said that Kikuchi, they view him as a number three. So they view him as better than Hunter Brown, I guess.
That was like, surprising, the number three.
Like, maybe it's just he just threw it out there. But to make
that's
it
him being a politician,
better,
though. That's I feel like that's more him being a politician. And yeah, as you said, making it sound better than it is an actual reflection of who Yusei Kikuchi is this year.
But if he goes out there and let's say, you know, it's the first round of the playoffs and you're playing the Minnesota Twins or the Cleveland Guardians and he goes out there in a five-game series and gives you six innings of one earned run ball and gets you to the ALCS, then the trade looks like a win. Like that's at the end of the day, that's what really matters. What matters to this team is going back to the ALCS, being part of the Final Four, getting back to the World Series. And if he helps you accomplish that, whether it's in the regular season or in the postseason, the trade essentially becomes a win. If they won a World Series in 2024, I do not care if Joey Loperfido, Jake Bloss, Drew Gilbert, Ryan Clifford, Corey Lee, if all of them end up being all-stars, I don't care. You want another World Series. What does it matter if you trade all those prospects? All that matters is winning championships. So if you get to a championship or you win a championship, it's all fine. Just right now, it doesn't feel great.
You got to give it time. You got to give everything time. Was the trade deadline a failure from the 8-3-2 at 713-780-3776. Hey, guys. Hang on. No, that's the wrong. Jeez, this text line. I'm not a fan of the service that we have for this text line. From the 512, the deadline wasn't a failure. The original sin was the offseason. Totally agree with that.
100%. It's why all those prospects I just named are not here. Because two off seasons in a row, you didn't address the starting pitching. And you had to acquire Verlander and you had to acquire Kikuchi.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that, you know, whoever you signed wouldn't have got hurt or stunk anyways. But they didn't address it in the offseason when it's cheaper to trade for players in terms of giving up prospects than it is at the deadline. And by not using free agency to do that. But when you have a bunch of bad contracts on your books, like Jose Abreu, Rafael Montero, Lance McCullers, your organization is not spending money left and right. So it's not even just an offseason. It's a multitude of offseasons is leading to this.
On YouTube, at Desert Stroh says, Dana Brown sniffing his own farts if he really thinks Kikuchi is third in the rotation. Speaking of Dana Brown, we're going to recap what he said this morning on the Astros flagship at 2 o'clock. Are you down with Dana B? But this was a telling quote, and I think it goes back to, you know, some of the things that we talked about this past offseason where we were wondering, okay, does Dana Brown have full control over building a roster, especially after the Jose Abreu contract and the Michael Brantley contract and the Rafael Montero contract, all three of which have been disasters. He said this as far as who runs this. Ultimately, I bear the responsibility as GM of the Houston Astros. I will ask people on my staff and we collaborate to make the best decisions possible for this organization. I make the final decision and it was made by me with collaboration from the front office. Curious as to what the question was asked by either Sean Salisbury or Brian LaLima to get that answer. And I'll admit I didn't listen, but I did read this quote. That is the kind of quote that a GM says when he feels like his autonomy is being questioned. And by the way, we all question it. We all question that autonomy. Sorry, Dana. It's not even your fault. But we do question it.
Well, because they made these moves without you. And then, like, the one photo that's going around from last night, it just, like, him and Baggy are just, like, deep entrenched in this conversation.
It looks like it's a testy conversation. And it looks like Bagwell is bossing him around. Part of that, I think, is because Bagwell's just a big guy.
And he looks angry.
And you can't really see Bagwell's face entirely. So you're right, Joe. From that angle, it does look like there perhaps is a back and forth going on. And again, we read way too much into things now that the internet exists. We all have a conspiracy theory or two, a tinfoil hat or two, just sitting in our pocket waiting to put on at any moment. You see something on the internet, oh, what's going on here? You know, you're doing your own Brian Windhorst dance. But I think when it comes to where the Astros are right now, I do think this was a Dana Brown special. But I don't think that earlier this year, as that one texter says, the sins of earlier this year, I think the Josh Hader deal was Jim Crane.
Yes.
I think that was, get this guy.
And it wouldn't shock me if this is the same thing here and we won't.
And passing
really
up Blake
know.
Snell, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When they went after Blake Snell, that definitely screams Jim Crane all over it. And look, that's, you know, it's been reported that part of the reason why James Click lost his job is because Jim Crane gave him an order to go get Starling Marte, and he failed to do so. And it does feel that when Jim Crane or Jeff Bagwell has a player in mind, that all bets are off. That, you know, trading Drew Gilbert and Clifford last year for Verlander, you know, part of that was the Mets eating the deal, but also they just wanted to get JV. Jim Crane wanted his golfing buddy back. You know, it's,
hey, he pitches too.
He does.
Eventually this year.
He'll be back. Neck discomfort.
We do have promising developments on Verlander that we'll get to later.
But, like, you know, would it stun me if we found out when Dana Brown eventually gets fired that this trade and other trades are being forced upon him by Jim Crane? No, it would not. But for now, he's the GM, and as he said, he takes responsibility, and he has to, because he's the only guy we can really blame, because Jeff Bagwell and Jim Crane don't talk to the media. So we have no way to ask them questions about what's going on.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Up next, 36 days away. Jerome Bettis days away from the start of the NFL season. But we're not going to talk about Jerome Bettis. We're going to talk about one of my all-time favorite Houston athletes who you've probably never heard of. Who is that? Stick around and find out. There's some amazing stories about this guy from his time here in town. It is Gallant and George. Stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So the only number 36 in NFL history who made it to the Hall of Fame is Jerome Bettis. Personally, I believe Bettis was overrated as a player. He had a cool nickname. He had great stats. I say he was overrated, though, because he is one of many Pittsburgh Steelers who didn't do a damn thing against my Patriots, kid. He couldn't do a damn thing. The bus stops here, kid.
I can see where you're coming from. He is a really good player.
He was a great running back. For whatever reason, the Patriots always stopped him.
And he had the best ending to his career.
He did.
To win the Super Bowl in your hometown and then retire.
But he shouldn't have gotten there because remember that goal line fumble that the Steelers had? They were about to go in for a touchdown in the AFC Championship game right before that Super Bowl. And Jerome Bettis fumbles. And a Colts player who I believe had been stabbed in the weeks prior, he picks it up, almost runs for a touchdown, and somehow, some way, Ben Roethlisberger lies down like a starfish and tackles him. I am still baffled.
I'm trying to find. I want to.
I think his name was Nick Harper. I could be wrong on that. While you're looking for that, Joe, though, we need to talk about the greatest number 36 in Houston Texans history. This guy is one of my favorites.
The man you've been slandering.
Who?
Jonathan Owens.
You wore 36?
Yeah.
Stop. Stop. Stop.
I can't. I forgot what jersey he wears. All I see him is that exactly. Gymnastic events.
That's how forgettable he was as a player. DJ Swearinger, second round pick of the Houston Texans in the 2015 draft, is just so fun. A guy who, in the middle of a play against the Oakland Raiders, forced a fumble, started beating on the drums, air drums, in the middle of a play that's still live that featured Kareem Jackson picking the ball up and returning it about 50 yards. This guy was just so fun. Now, I don't want to, you know, besmirch the field of Big J journalists out there who go in the locker room and who have to interview players for a living, but I will say that DJ Swearinger often confirms stories to us. Me and my guy, Will Grubb, who used to be reporters over at the Texans flagship. Whenever something happened, we would ask him about it. Like, hey, did Jadeveon Clowney's leg get caught in the pallet grass at NRG Stadium? Oh, it did? Thanks, DJ. We appreciate it.
He's loose lips.
He had loose lips. I'm going to ask you, Joe, and we can get to the other story later on so we can get to everything in the NFL. I'm going to ask you, you have two options for a story.
Okay.
Dog bite, stolen truck. Ooh. One or the other. Which one are you picking?
Let's go dog bite.
Okay. Dog bite. This is a story from the 2015 offseason. And I guess Swearinger is a 2014 pick, so my bad on that. Jadeveon Clowney had to go to a Pearland, Texas emergency room after he was bitten by South Carolina and Houston Texans teammate DJ Swearinger's, guess the dog. Guess the dog.
Chihuahua?
No.
Come on.
You think DJ Swearinger's going to have a little
you think
bitch
Jungle
Chihuahua?
Boy swag is
the way
have
you
a Chihuahua?
Asked the question, I was like, maybe I guess we pit bull?
Yes. Yes.
It felt too obvious of an answer.
Yeah.
By the way, DJ Swearinger, who as Sean said, his Twitter handle is at Jungle Boy Swag, had this to say about the dog bite. For the record, my dog and Clowney were just playing, and it wasn't a serious bite. They were only playing cool out on all that. He went to the emergency room, DJ!
Just playing.
The man was a treasure.
man, he has some. He had a weird career. Didn't he get cut? Didn't he? He called into a radio show in Washington to announce he'd been cut.
I think so.
Like, just, he is an odd one.
Friend of the media, DJ Swearin.
And then he had a radio show somewhere. I can't remember if it was here or somewhere else where he did it for like a week and then never showed up again. I think it might have been here.
Hell yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
Because that would add to his legend. You know what? I'm gonna tell the other story.
I was like, I kind of want both.
Here's the truck story. DJ Swearinger. This is from March 5th, 2015. So this happened within weeks of each other. Texan safety DJ Swearinger is under investigation for allegedly stealing his own truck off a dealership lot without paying for customization work. The dealership, ESPI Motors in Houston, filed a police report alleging that it did $20,000 worth of work, which including a matte black paint job with a logo. Can you guess the logo?
South Carolina?
No.
Houston, Texans?
No.
That's all I got.
Batman.
Oh.
I was thinking GTA. Go. I was thinking he seems like he would like GTA.
So he made his truck look like the Batman mobile. Matte black, speakers, new wheels, a custom grill, and a train horn.
This guy's awesome.
He is the best.
A train horn?
He is the best. I miss him so much.
It's exactly what I would do if I was an NFL player.
I love just like at the end of like these like articles too, and it's like, Swearinger couldn't immediately be reached for comment. And the text said, no comment.
This is an all-time Houston athlete.
Because it's a bunch of off-the-field incidents, but none of them are like bad in any way.
He didn't harm anyone. Just, he was just a like, he's just goofy.
Yeah, I was gonna say just like mischief. He's always up to mischief.
Oh, DJ Sparrow.
And the way that story starts too, it just sounds so funny until you get into the details. Like he stole his own truck.
Yeah, yeah. Like, headline: just, he stole his own truck.
Like when you said that first, I was like, I'm confused. And then you explain the story; it makes more sense. But it's just he still seemed like one of a kind.
He was. Oh, I miss him. He was so fun. Bill O'Brien must have hated him.
I can't imagine that he loved him.
Didn't he have something where when all the Bill O'Brien stuff was going on, I swear he went on a podcast.
And yeah.
Went off.
And you know what? Now the more I'm thinking about it, I think Swearinger might have been a 13 pick. Again, I forget what year he was drafted because it does feel like this is not somebody that Bill O'Brien would bring in more than I think about it.
I think he must have been 2013.
He must have been.
Because I remember because me and my high school friends loved him, and that's when I was in high school.
2013, correct. Yeah. Okay. I was about to say, like, the more I think about this, no way Bill O'Brien brings this guy in. No way.
Even, like, him in South Carolina, he was a hilarious player.
He was with Bill, though.
Yeah, he played a couple years.
But I just mean, I don't think Bill would have co-signed bringing him in.
Yeah, he doesn't.
So Rick Smith had to say back then. Anyway, Galan and George, DJ Swearinger. 36 in your programs, as we're 36 days away from the start of the NFL season. Number one in all of our hearts.
I'm so glad we're only 36 days away.
Well,
we're getting there.
Joe, we're really close to a television show featuring your favorite team. Try not to get a pants 10 over this. Here is the trailer for the Bears for Hard Knocks 2024.
I can see the operation. The execution, keep it simple and be consistent. We're going to give you the keys, you go and drive it. This is your team.
You better come to play.
Rough and tough monsters of the Midway.
You're going to get hit. That's going to hurt.
I like this guy, buddy.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams.
Unequivocally, we have the right set of individuals. That's what we do.
Bear Warrior. They're going to take us to the next level.
So, Joe. A tear is slowly trickling down.
That's gonna be the first
Joe's
time
face.
I've watched Hard Knocks in so long.
Are you excited?
I am.
Okay.
I'm curious. Like what they're going to show?
I am too, because, Joe, if you watch the video of this, the highlights are largely featuring players who played before you were born.
Yes.
Because that's how bad it's been for the Bears, in case you didn't remember.
Yeah, there's a lot of, not enough Charles Tillman in this video. Not enough Devin Hester in this video.
That's true. There were some guys 20 years ago.
Yeah. You know, there's some guys. I had a couple of these jerseys,
By the way, they gave DJ Moore the biggest deal in franchise history, $110 million. I'm sorry, this is just me making fun of the Bears right now.
That contract is massive.
I can't believe that's the largest extension in franchise history. Ooh. And it seems like for anybody.
To be fair.
But who would they do at quarterback, so it makes sense.
Who would they be giving that money to?
Yeah, Urlacher would have been the only one I could think of, but they haven't had a top-of-the-line pass rusher.
Talk about 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Totally different salaries.
I mean, they gave out, if you look at the...
Khalil Mack probably was up there.
Yeah, that would be it.
The two biggest contracts they gave out recently, Montez Sweat and Jalen Johnson, both got over $90 million a year. Over $90 million total. So, yeah, they're giving out fat contracts. I think it's a good deal for DJ Moore, personally. You have a guy who has 4,000-yard receivers, and his quarterbacks are like Cam Newton, Justin Fields, whoever was the quarterback in Carolina after Cam Newton, which wasn't going to be good.
So, Kyle Allen, perhaps?
Yeah, probably. Like, he has major production for a pretty bad quarterback play, so I think it's a good deal.
I mean, for the Bears, I look at it from this perspective. I mean, that trade for Caleb Williams, if Williams is good, I mean, what a steal. Like, they robbed the Panthers blind. Panthers, they get the first overall pick and draft Bryce Young. They gave up their best wide receiver for Bryce Young.
Yeah.
And the Bears end up getting the number one overall pick the very next year, and the quarterback that everyone thinks was the better prospect, no matter what happens on the field.
Yeah, it's...
Ryan Pace, a guy who I doubted a lot last offseason. Props to him. It's looking pretty good for him right now.
Yeah, they took the patient approach, and we'll see if it works. They are getting gassed up way too much, though.
What am I doing? Who's the Bears GM now?
It's still Ryan Poles.
Ryan Poles, that's it.
Ryan Pace is the last guy.
Pace was the last guy. I was like, wait a second, that guy got canned. Yeah.
Anything the Saints do wrong, it's his fault.
He's there now?
I think he's like the assistant GM.
Jeez.
Sorry, not New Orleans, Atlanta.
Okay.
Atlanta. Oh, yeah, because he's in the Michael Penix video.
Yeah.
He's in the background as they're having this discussion.
Oh, no, that's no play now.
But it's out of control. I saw Kyle Brandt on the Rich Eisen show. He gave him 13 wins this year.
That's it?
Adam Rank, who's always a Bears homer, gave him 12. Nick Wright made the Super Bowl comments. Got relaxed.
Oh, yeah. I know Danny Parkins subbed in for Colin Cowherd. He's a Chicago area radio host.
Yeah.
He's doing the same thing.
Yeah, give him 9. Start at 9.
If you want to be on the hype train, 9.
Like, slow your roll.
People are saying he's got the best weapons a rookie has ever worked with.
Probably.
Yeah, Keenan Allen.
Adunze, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift.
Dream team?
Hard to argue.
I think it is a dream team.
I think it's a dream team.
We'll have to ask Vince Young. Think it's a dream team.
I want
to
disassociate myself at this point with this conversation.
I think Sean and I are on the same page here. As Kyle Brandt said, I mean, 13 wins, like, it's a failure.
If they don't get the 10 wins, it's a disappointment. It's a failure of a season.
Sorry, we bully you so much.
I hope
if the Bears end up winning, you get to throw it back in my face.
They're good. I need them to I need them to be good this
Poor
year.
Poor Joe, he's got his hands. His head in his hands.
I need them to be good this year. If Caleb sucks, I'm going to be crushed.
Oh. Well,
I think it's impossible that he sucks.
Impossible?
Yeah, but I also thought the same thing about Justin.
You do have your parents in town, so like if the Bears suck, you can go to your parents' house and they'll comfort you like they comfort Caleb Williams.
That's a good point. I can just cry in my mom's arms.
Yeah.
I'll paint my fingernails. Start crying all the time. You're not going to hold me?
No, I won't. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. I'm not going to do that.
Figured I'd ask.
I'll give you a hug. But I'm not going to hold
it. If they make the playoffs, will you paint your fingernails like Caleb?
Yeah, he's got to.
Deal.
Okay.
Dunzo.
If they get 13 wins, you have to, definitely have to paint.
I'll make the playoffs.
Okay.
They could be 9 wins, make the walk.
If they make the playoffs, I'll have my fingernails painted until they get knocked out of the playoffs.
Cleanup aisle meet. Did I ever bet that I was going to paint my fingernails?
Jalen Green, if they made the playoffs, but
they did
not.
They didn't.
you're good.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. And you guys tried to turn it into, I bet, into another cat.
They missed the playoffs. You had to get like three cats.
Yeah, something like that.
You wouldn't accept them.
No. Mm-hmm. We didn't shake on that.
All right, guys.
We tried to get something else, and you wouldn't take it. So we thought you'd get more cats, but said Aria would be would kill them if you got new cats. So.
Yeah, Aria would kill them, 100%. She's such a sweet little baby today.
She's like the real Aria, which, by the way, I'm rewatching Game of Thrones.
I thought about it. I'm rewatching Dexter. Season 5. It's starting to... The writing is starting to get suspect. But season 4, it was great. R.I.P. Rita. She got... Rita, my God. Yeah. Strong, powerful, single mom.
God, I love Dexter.
Rita went from season 1 to season 4. I mean, it was like Tom Brady season 1 to season 25. Like, whoa. How did you get this much hotter? Anyway.
How do you feel about they're doing a prequel?
To Dexter?
Yes. Where it's going to be right when he graduates college?
Yeah, I'm in.
And then they're also bringing him back. Even though... They're gonna re-extend the Dexter universe again.
Yeah, I would like that. The series that they brought back to Showtime, I actually thought they landed the plane well because it was an absolute disaster the last season.
Yeah,
so anyway.
Bad.
That's Talkin' TV, and that is 36 days away from the start of the NFL season. Up next, the skies, are they getting a little bit friendlier? You'll find out next. Stick around, Galan and George.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So the Astros get one more arm at yesterday's trade deadline. Happened about 24 hours ago. Caleb Ferguson, a left-handed reliever from the Yankees with a 5.13 ERA, a 1.32 walks, hits per innings pitched. In 33 innings in New York this year. He joins Yusei Kikuchi, who the Astros gave up a premium to get. Kikuchi is someone that they had to trade Jake Blas, Joey Loperfido, and Will Wagner to get. Kikuchi has a 4.75 ERA on the year. He is 4-9. We've discussed that all day. So if you want to weigh in on that, you still can. It's 713-780-3776. I imagine Yusei Kikuchi is over the last 24 hours or so. I imagine he was flying our friendly skies.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that's the same thing for Caleb Ferguson. It's scary flying these days. No, not because a Boeing plane could blow up at any moment in time, but it's scary because you might have to deal with air Nazis. What am I talking about? Joe's laughing. This is no laughing matter, Joe. Air Nazis are, of course, the worst of the worst flight attendants.
Mm.
And over the last 24 hours, the saga that we've discussed before on this show, featuring two-time Super Bowl champion, former NFL MVP Terrell Davis, one of only a few men to run for 2,000-plus yards in a single season when it was 16 games, he, while on a plane, touched the back of a flight attendant's arm. The flight attendant shrieked, I think it was a man, and then when they landed, Terrell Davis was taken into custody by officers.
Mm-hmm.
Per Terrell Davis, United banned him from flying. Per United, Terrell Davis is not banned, and the person who did this has been fired.
Okay. What's the miscommunication here? Is he...
Terrell Davis says that he has not been allowed to fly on United until this matter's investigation is resolved.
Okay, but then United is saying...
And United is probably saying, well, no, that's not actually true.
Yeah.
In a slightly more politically correct way, in a much more public relations-friendly way.
I also would imagine he's going to do a self-ban. Like, if you got thrown off a flight for like that and got taken into custody, would you ever consider flying? Unless you were desperate.
If I'm Terrell Davis and I have the kind of money where I can fly on whatever airline I want, 100%, I would never fly that airline again. The problem is, airlines are so damn expensive, I will take the cheapest flight I possibly can get, and I will suck it up. I'll sit in the middle seat. I don't care. I want to pay for the cheapest possible flight. That's why I got all these credit cards that stack up points. and why I'm in super credit card debt, because I'm trying to get free flights.
It's just all flights.
Just all for flights.
It's not for dates. It's not for
no
party on the weekends.
Well, no, no. I mean, date 50-50. It's 2024.
Really?
I mean, it doesn't actually work, but you always hope.
Yeah, that's true.
You always hope for it.
That's true.
She offers. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no. If she offers, you have to still pay.
I will say, a girl I've been on a few dates with,
uh-huh.
She offered to pay for a date soon.
Good. If you go on
a... I don't know. That's a, it sounds no, like it's, no, it's an extended timeline no, on yeah, that.
That's soon.
No, if you go on a first date and she doesn't at least like reach for a wallet in some capacity, red flag.
I don't know
she's
about that.
She's at least got to make the gesture.
Well, it depends. I mean, if it's the first date and you're going out for dinner, the expectation is you're paying. If it's a drink or something like that, then I can understand the split. But no, if it's a dinner, you're taking somebody out for a dinner, you got to pay for the whole thing. The first couple of dates. 100%.
You're paying. But I think that it's a kind gesture from her behalf to at least pretend like she's going to try to pay.
Mm.
I think that's a positive sign.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's part of the dance.
Yeah.
You have to pretend. Yeah. You have to overrule.
By the way, yesterday we were talking about mustaches and I texted her, hey, mustache thoughts. She said, might be hot. Got to keep her, I think. Got to keep
now,
her.
Now, are you going to send hey, this is what it looks like before you do it?
No. Okay. I've done a mustache before. My facial hair grows so quickly.
Okay.
I mean, if it's an issue, then we can get rid of it.
So she's pro-mustache. That just puts her in a different category.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. That is your date update. Twitch is always obsessed with what I'm doing on the dating side of things.
It's really weird.
I don't think it's weird. I mean, I'm a star, and everyone wants to know all about my life, Joe. So, you know what?
You're right. Lucky there's not paparazzi when he's walking to his car after the show.
Every now and then at McIntyre's, one person comes up to me and says, hey.
Every once in a while.
I went to McIntyre's the other day.
You did? Which
there's
one?
There's one out by me now.
Oh, interesting.
Like Seabrook. It used to be this putt-putt place, apparently. But now it's McIntyre's. Hmm. Finally checked that one out.
Oh, that's fun. By the way, there was another air Nazi incident. This one was on Montreal. Actually, I don't know if that's actually the airline. It took place in Montreal, which for those who don't know, it is Quebec. Air Canada, a flight from Casablanca to Montreal, was canceled due to the inappropriate behavior of a flight attendant. Per sources, a passenger asked for a blanket because of the excessive air conditioning, leading the stewardess to call police to disembark the lady. Again, these people are Nazis, some of them. The worst of the worst, air Nazis. In support of this passenger, this seems unbelievable. All the other travelers also left the plane, forcing Air Canada to cancel the flight.
I don't know if I can believe this story.
I don't believe it either. A walkout on a flight?
First of all, I'm not leaving.
I wouldn't either.
I'm saying all y'all can leave. I'll take a flight by myself. Like I'm not, even if I have places to go, like or have nowhere to be, and not like a certain amount of time, I'm not getting off that plane.
Yeah.
Whether I'm with my kid or not, like even if it's just like me and the wife, we're not getting off that plane, and you're not taking us off. They all can leave, air Nazi or not. I'm not in support of that hard pass.
Yeah, I'd say, well, I mean, sucks to suck, and this flight attendant's clearly being a bee if she's not letting somebody get a blanket. When the air conditioning on planes, it can be rather, it can be a lot from time to time. I appreciate it, though. I'd rather the plane be freezing cold than boiling hot.
Yeah, and I think you should dress for that. Or you should always bring...
But that's the tricky thing, though. You never 100% know. Like, say you get on a plane, a flight that's delayed, and you're on a Houston tarmac. I mean, it's going to get hot.
Yeah.
They don't generally turn the air conditioning on as high as they should here, as opposed to in other places, you know? So...
That's a good point.
It is tricky. I recommend, like, bring a light jacket.
I always bring a... I, like, pack, like,
put
a long
carry-on?
Sleeve. In my carry-on.
Gotcha, okay.
Always got to be prepared.
Always prepared.
Yeah. And you can't go the other way. You can't, like, you know, when it's the winter time, you always have to have an undershirt in case you get on and for some reason, like, the heat's on. You don't want to be, like, cooking an airplane. You always got to be prepared.
When you say undershirt.
What do you mean undershirt?
Like a normal t-shirt. Like a t-shirt shirt under my hoodie.
Oh.
So sometimes you don't wear a t-shirt under your hoodie?
Only if I'm flying.
Ooh. Okay.
I might wear, like,
I was like, I didn't know you were a freshman in college.
I'm just saying, you know.
That's what I did when I didn't want to do laundry. not wear a shirt under a hoodie.
I guess it depends on where I'm going. Okay. I would do it if I came to work.
Yeah.
Because I never know what it's going to be like here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might be an ice box. It might be 3,000 degrees.
Yeah, you do never know.
Yeah, you have to be prepared. For all scenarios.
I've thought about doing the show shirtless.
That's fine.
You can get some money on the YouTube side of things.
Yeah, can we do Twitch donations?
Yeah.
Should we start?
Super chat.
Hey, we just added Twitch, our Twitter streams.
Yeah, Twitter.
OnlyFans next.
Listen.
Gallant and George.
Hey, I'm a team player. Like, I will sell my body for this.
What are we trying?
I will. Paul Gallant here, led with his very, very, very Irish endowment here, bearing it all.
What are we charging for the ESPN 97.5 OnlyFans?
$300,000.
A dollar?
A dollar? Come on, I'm more than that.
I feel like we can get $4.99 a month.
Okay.
Kiss my ass. My beautiful ass.
I'm thinking about the whole lineup.
Mm.
The whole lineup.
That's true. We probably, you know, no offense. A lot of y'all are losing us money.
Yeah, we're not all, you know, potential gymnasts, Paul.
Yeah. Joel said I would wear a leotard. I mean, if it accentuates my package, then yeah, sure.
How'd you feel about that video when he said that?
I mean, Joel's just uncomfortable with how much, like, more in shape I am than him. It's fine. Everyone is. Okay. Like, I'm hot. Okay? Anyway, where are we? What are we
Gordon
doing?
Break?
Oh, yeah, we're doing a radio
show.
Are we right
down
now.
With Dana B?
Next, Dana Brown, Astros general manager. You hear what he had to say. Are we buying what he is selling? Stick around.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.